Open your Bibles with tonight to John chapter 17. Jesus is praying for the church here. Who's the church? It's us, right? How many's grateful that Jesus is praying for us? Amen. And John 17, verse number 20, he said, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I've declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." And tonight we're going to focus for our lesson tonight on verse number 24, which says, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory." Behold, witness the remarkable, the extraordinary, the glory of the Lord, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Amen? So tonight we're going to look at, first we're going to look at to behold his will. To witness something, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Amen. And we want to witness the glory of the Lord. So when I'm thinking about his will, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. He's all right. He's a child. I get upset when the old people do that. Hallelujah. Verse number 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So the Father's will first, the Lord's will, is for none of us to perish. Amen? God desires for us all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Give me five. Pow! Yeah. Hallelujah. So for this to take place, his will is to draw us to him. So look with me in John chapter 12. For example, the Lord drew you here tonight. The Lord drew you here tonight because he had something to say to you. Amen? Amen? How many know we could find something else to do? Amen? So the Lord has something to say. First, he says in John 12, 32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Amen? So for us to come to repentance, first we have to be drawn to the Father. We sing songs like that, "Draw me close to you." Who's the singer? No, I'm trying to y'all, I want y'all to stay to the end. Hey! Give me the five. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says that the Word of God says, no one comes to the Father but by the Son, and no one comes to the Son unless the Father draws them. Okay? And we have all been drawn to Jesus for salvation, but he also wants to draw us to him for deliverance and freedom. Amen? It starts at salvation, but it's a continuation. You know, when we look at God's word, he says, he that's begun a good work in you is faithful to see it through to his complete it. He starts by drawing us. We repent, and it's not his will that we perish, but we come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we are drawn to him. Now he wants us to grow up. Amen? How many are ready to grow up? And I raised my hand. I didn't raise it up high. I want to grow up in the Lord, but I don't want to grow up. I like being young, even though I'm older than water. I like feeling young. Amen?
She is not growing up.
Jeez, that's Sonia. Hallelujah. So not only does he draw us, but he draws us to clean us. Look with me in Luke chapter 5. It's his will to clean us up. I'm using this one as an account of a leper. All right. The word of God says in verse 12, and it came to pass when he was, Luke chapter 5, verse 12. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face, and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand, and he touched him, saying, I will. So what's the Lord's will? It's the Lord's will to heal. It's the Lord's will to cleanse. And he says, and immediately the leprosy departed from him. Amen? And in other words, it only takes a moment in the presence of the Lord. Do you think it's interesting? Listen to me for one moment. Let me have your attention for a moment. Don't you realize in the atmosphere of praise and worship how much the adversary wants to distract us to keep us out of unity? And in that presence of God, when he envelops and fills the room, hallelujah. I fell on my face sometimes too. Okay, way to go. Good move. Do you understand when we say that we're all kinds of different people in the room, and it's very difficult, it's very hard for us to really agree on anything because we all have a tendency to disagree? You know, it's just like looking at this pink sweater. Mauve. See? You see it differently than I do. I saw it as pink. Amen? And just looking at that sweater or anything that we look at, we all have a different opinion of it. But when we get into a place of praise and worship, hallelujah. When we get into a place of praise and worship, that's the only time when we're saying the same thing and coming into agreement. Now, listen to me. If two agree as touching anything and asking to be done for them, what do you think takes place in the atmosphere when 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, whatever, is agreeing, is coming into unity? Well, you say, well, I don't feel like singing. Well, Jesus didn't feel like going to the cross either. Hello? And sometimes it's a sacrifice of praise. It's a sacrifice of worship. But as you do that, there's something that takes place in the atmosphere. Amen? Amen? My message tonight wasn't about praise, but just the Lord's just talking. Hello? Are you listening? You know, he wants to draw us to him. He wants to cleanse us. He wants to set us free. It's his will to come again. Amen. And when I look at that, I look at John chapter 14. Verse number 3. Jesus says this. And I go, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen. So, hey, we're practicing spending eternity with Jesus. Amen? You need a pen? Well, all we have to do is get you one. Help yourself. Wow, you're multicolored. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves all the ink in your pen. Are you with me? Secondly, we're going to look at behold his presence. His presence. Turn with me to Psalm 16. Verse number 11. The psalmist writes, he says, thou wilt shew me the path of life. In thy presence there's fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Now, let's go back to that praise thing again. Let's go back to that worship thing. Let's look back to that coming in unity and worshiping and praising, and then him filling the atmosphere. How many of you are going through something in your life? Anybody? Nobody's going through anything. Amen? How many have... some things that you would rather be smiling and happy and jumping up and down. You know? He says, in his presence, there's fullness of joy. Amen? I don't know about you, but I love it when the Holy Ghost comes in and just touches. Amen. It fills your heart with so much joy. Amen? And all of us go through things in life, and all of us need to be refreshed. All of us need to be renewed. You know? So as we're looking at this together, you know, we're saying, hey, we're in this together, and we're a body, and we're walking this out together. He says it's his presence fills the atmosphere. Amen? Look with me in Psalms 139. 139. The psalmist writes, thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. I mean, his presence is filling the very atmosphere. I don't know about you, but I want to depend and rely on him. I'm going to share a story, another story. This isn't a funny story, but it's a story. It's something that happened yesterday. Yesterday morning, when I was running, when I got back to my car from running, there was a message on my phone from a young lady from Charlottesville that was asking me if I would do her mother's funeral. Her mother hadn't died yet, but she was asking me if I would do her funeral because her mom wanted me to do her funeral. Well, her mom was Dodd Herring, was raised from the dead 13 years ago, and died in one of our services. There were several nurses there, and God brought her back to life. And we've been connected for all these years. And after I ran, so I tried to call her back and I couldn't get an answer. So I decided to go over. She was at a nursing home over in Standersville. So I went over to the nursing home and went in. And Dot was laying there, her mouth was open. She's like 87 years old and her heart was failing. And I said, Dot. And she opened her eyes and said, Pastor Carl. She said, I love you, Pastor Carl, and I love Jackie. And she said to me, take care of Donna and Emma. I'm ready to go and meet Jesus. And when she told me that, you know, I prayed for her and released her. But when I came back, was heading over the mountain, I got a call from her daughter, and she returned my call back. And I shared with her what her mom said. No way. She said, Mom's been in a coma. She hadn't talked to no one. And I thank God that he allowed her to speak to me, to give me the desires of her heart. Amen. The reason I'm saying that is because God is faithful. God is faithful. And he'll do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask him or even think. You know, and I know as soon as I spoke, she heard my voice and responded. She didn't respond to any other voices, and it's not me. The Lord did that. I think the Lord did that to bless me. Just like he did with Randy last week when he let his flesh turn back to normal. I think that God does those things. I think that we serve a really faithful, good God. And sometimes we feel like we don't see enough. But if you just would just reflect for a moment, you'll see how great and how mighty God has been in your life and how many times he has showed up. He has showed up many times when the odds were against you, when it didn't look like it would work. All of a sudden, God came in and did something special. And God's done something in all of our lives. When we get in this place, and we come in, that's why we should be praising him. Not for what he's going to do later, but for what he's already done. Not so he'll do something now, but because of what he's already done. Amen? In other words, if you're not thankful for what he's already done, I don't know about you, but I don't like to do a whole lot of things for ungrateful grandchildren. Hello? Anybody with me? I made a mistake. You say, well, Pastor, you made a mistake? Yeah, I make mistakes. I made a mistake because I never had to spank my children. I made a mistake with my grandchildren because my grandchildren dishonored me and my children never did. Because they can get away with everything with grandpa. So I don't know how I got to straighten it out, but I got to straighten it out. You know, but it has to be straightened out because it's going to be for their harm and not for their benefit. Hallelujah. He fills our future. Look with me in 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse number 9. Let's go with verse 6. He says, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Wow. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, to be glorified in you and I, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Amen? So he says not only that, He wants to, he fills our future. He also fills the heart. Look at me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 19. The Word of God says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" Amen. And you know, so right now, even though we go through trials and tribulations and storms, it's an honor to serve him because we're going to be blessed. We're blessed now, but we've got a super duper blessing coming in the future. Amen. And his word is true, and he'll do everything he said. So I wanted to behold his behold his glory. Amen. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Glory comes from the Greek word doxa, which means majesty, worthy, praise. We're giving him praise. We're giving him worship because he's worthy. Dignity. Verse number 27. It says, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." And in other words, James said, "Show me your faith and I'll show you my works, because faith without works is dead, being alone." Everything that you do for the kingdom of God, you will be rewarded for. Amen? You say, "Well, Pastor, I won't need it then." Yeah, you will. We're going to reign with him for 1,000 years, and then rewards are going to come into practice during that time. Amen? Amen? So look with me. His glory is shared. Look with me in Matthew chapter 19, verse number 27. "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, and the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life." I don't know what, you can't outgive God. Amen. "But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." Amen. In other words, you may be serving in this generation and this time, but you'll be reigning in the next. The greatest service will be reigning over kingdoms and so forth. So, hey, I'm not serving him to reign. I'm serving him because I love him. I'm serving him because I love you. And I care about you. Amen. And I care about your well-being. Amen. I care about your family. And I don't just say that. I truly do. You may not, even when you're not here, you're still in my heart. You're still in my mind. And I don't give up, do I? I'm pretty pesty, aren't I? I'm like a pest, right? Huh? You don't use that word? What would you say? Amen. Amen. Persistent. There we go. Amen. Amen. No, because you truly matter to me and to the kingdom of God. And in this, when you're going through some things in life, you think, you sometimes, has anybody ever been felt like you were alone and nobody else was there? Come on, have you ever been there? Let's be real. God says to you that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be just as close to the call of your name. And he places people in your heart just to just, bing, bing. I don't know. We get to use this now. Hallelujah. Sure beats a lot of travel. Hallelujah. So his glory is to be held. Look with me in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. This is at the Transfiguration. Verse 32, but Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. We find that's Moses and Elijah, the priest and the prophet. Amen. The two witnesses. Amen. The priest and the prophet. Amen. So as we see this, his glory was revealed to them. And I love John 1:14, where it speaks about the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. We're beholding the glory of the Lord, and he takes us from glory to glory to glory. Amen. And I think there's realms of the glory realms, and as we get in unity and flowing together, and then all the signs and wonders and things begin to operate and move in our midst because of the unity of the body. Amen. Because of the unity of the people, you know, because we're all bringing our gifts into the house to put them to work, working together for the kingdom and for his good. Amen. He says that the glory is to be possessed. Now, in John 17, that we're not possessed, it's to be possessed. All right? Oh, the pastor told us on Wednesday night we're to be possessed. In verse number 4, Jesus says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. This glory is possessed by Jesus. Jesus is the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. Amen. And even in heaven, when we look at Revelation chapter 5, it's ascribed to him in Revelation 5. Verse number 11. The word of God says this, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. It's ascribed to him. So if Jan, you would lead us in, can we all just stand tonight? And Jan can lead us in the song, Oh the Glory. You know that one? You don't know it? Roberta, you can lead us in. Oh, the glory. Oh, the glory of your presence. We, your temple, give you reverence. So arise to your rest. And be blessed by our praise. Your embrace as your presence now fills this place. Let's lift our hands to heaven. Don't leave yet. It'll hold for you. Hallelujah. If you wet, we'll receive you. Hallelujah. They're just kidding. Father, we're so grateful for your word, Father God. We're so grateful for your will, that your will for all of us is to be saved, to be cleansed, Father God, to be healed, Father God. Father, we thank you, Father God, for your presence, for in your presence there's fullness of joy. We thank you for your glory, Father God. As we sing these songs, Father God, may we believe when we say, let your glory fall. Fall and fill this place. So, Father, I pray for everyone in this room, Father God. Lord, I thank you for you're the glory and you're the lifter of their heads and their spirits and their countenances. Whatever battle, whatever they're facing, Father God, they're mighty through you, Father God, to overcome, to run and not grow weary, to walk and not faint. Father, we praise you and give you glory for all that you've done, all you're doing, and all you're going to do. Now I pray that you be with us as we fellowship together. Bless the food. Bless the time together. And when all is said and done, you'll